In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We are in the book of Exodus, and we are coming off the heels of the golden calf incident. And we're in chapter 32, verse 21, where Moses confronts Aaron on his failure to lead Israel when he was with the Lord. So just for review, let's read the passage to kind of reorient ourselves. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods that shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast into the fire, and this calf came out. Now, when you hear that, you just got to be chuckling. Really, Aaron, you're going to say that this calf magically appeared? We just read a chapter earlier that you fashioned it and in all that work made an altar. Now, I think this is a really good lesson for us, and we can identify with Aaron in more ways than we want to sometimes admit to ourselves. That when we're confronted with our own sin, what do? We evade, we run, we delay the judgment, and ultimately we minimize and we blame. This is no different than our parents, Adam and Eve. So let's walk through this and see if we can learn some really important lessons so that we avoid the situation that Aaron found himself in due to his sin. So Moses speaks to Aaron. Now, let's just put this in practical terms. Today we have Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It's called the church discipline passage. Better, I think, church restoration, because the situation is someone sins. And then someone has to come forward and confront that sinner. And that is the moment here. So think of you being confronted by an individual for your sin. How are you going to respond? Now, notice Moses says there's a dual sin. There's the people's sin, but then there's also the leader's sin. But the primary responsibility, get this, falls on the leader. That's why he says to Aaron that you have brought so great a sin upon them. And verse 25 of chapter 32 says, "did not restrain them." So when you have a situation and there's a leader involved and there's a flock involved and the flock is sinning, yes, those individuals are culpable for their own sin, but responsibility falls on the shepherd. Now look at Aaron's response, and this is really a lesson on how not, all right, how not to deal with sin, okay? First thing Aaron does out of the box, "Moses, don't be angry." Right away, he's trying to minimize the emotional response of Moses. It's like saying, "It's not so bad. Calm down." And I think we do this way too quickly. And we do that because we don't want to feel the heat of the moment of dealing with the consequences of our sin. Then what does he say? "People are set on evil." In other words, he's blaming them. How often do we look at our failures and we start to give excuses and blame? It's like the example, a Christian speeding, driving too fast, 10, 15, 20 miles over the speed limit, gets pulled over, and then tells his friends, "Yeah, the cops are persecuting me." No, you broke the speed limit. We do that way too often. Genesis 3:12, our parents did this as well. "Then the man said, 'The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" Now, Adam is not blaming his wife only. He's blaming God. "The woman you gave to be with me. If it wasn't for this woman, I wouldn't have sinned." And the woman says, "If it wasn't for this serpent, I wouldn't have sinned." And that's what we do, isn't it? We love to blame. Now, as Moses confronts Aaron, look what Aaron does next. He recounts the people's words accurately. Now, I don't want you to miss this. He is telling the truth here, but he's picking the part of the story that justifies his behavior. Look what he says. Make us gods, the people say, that shall go before us. As for this Moses, this man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. See, he chooses a key fact so that he looks like he's not the problem. This is deflecting, all right? This is shifting the blame. This is focusing on the symptoms and not the root problem. And it goes on to say, come, make us gods that shall go before us. And then he recounts his own words. Now, this is another thing that we do when we're confronted with our sin. We change the narrative. Sometimes we can omit things. Sometimes we can distort things. Or sometimes we outright lie. Those are your three options. And he does all of these things. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. That's true. All right. But that's not quite what's going on. He led them, right? He commanded them. And so he's responsible for that. That's distorting. I cast it into the fire and this calf came out. Well, that's an outright lie. All right. So you can see Aaron, he is responding in a sinful way because he's trying to minimize and cover his sin. Because Exodus 32 says this, and Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. All right? Where before he says, so they gave it to me. Well, wait a minute. Why did they give it to you? Because you commanded it. So do you see how he's omitting, he's distorting, and he's lying? The big difference, the calf came out. That minimized all the work Aaron did in minimizing the idol. And by the way, no mentioning of the altar. Now, is Aaron the first human to sin this way, to change the narrative to cover a sin? No, this goes, like I said, all the way back to Adam and Eve. It goes back to Cain and Abel. Every sinner faces this. Even, and if you just think back to when you were a little kid and you were caught, no matter what you were doing, this is what the flesh does. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how can we avoid making the same mistakes as Aaron? And let me just give you something practical. Number one, let's just recognize the elephant in the room. Don't sin. If you don't sin, then you don't have to sit there and have to omit, distort, or lie. But if you do sin, you have to love the truth more than you love the lie. You have to look at this as, I need to give glory to God. Let me give you a couple verses to just reinforce some of these things I just said. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. You need to recognize that your sin has consequences. But you can minimize those consequences, not by changing the narrative, but by confessing your sin. And I think there's another passage just kind of popped in my mind as we're talking, but you might remember the battle at Ai. You remember their first battle, they were successful, but then the second battle, they suffered great losses. And so Joshua goes to the Lord, inquires, and finds out there is sin in the camp. And as you know, the sin turned out to be Achan. He had coveted the spoils, which he was not to covet. He took it with his family, being complicit in this. They buried it in his tent. And as they drew lots, they found out it was him. And this is what Joshua said to Achan. My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. I wish we memorized this verse and use it every time we find someone in sin. Give glory to the Lord. Do you see that? When we confess sin, we give glory to God. We need to see confession and sin in this positive light. Now, I need to stress something. That doesn't make the consequences go away. And what happened to Achan and his family? It's tragic, but this is what happened. Joshua chapter 7, verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us?" Very important line there. Your sin is never isolated. Every sin impacts someone else, some way, somehow. You can't compartmentalize it. It always has collateral damage. And it goes on in the text, "The Lord will trouble you this day." Boy, you don't want that to be said. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire. Notice it's them, after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day, a reminder. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So, this is a hard truth. Just because you confess sin doesn't make the consequences go away. The implication is Moses is defending the people up to this point. But Aaron is blaming the people. He is proving he's a hired hand by not protecting the sheep. And he blames the people because Aaron was compromised by his own sin. Moses was not. And this is just a reality each of us have to come to grips with. When we are compromised, when our leaders are compromised, it's difficult to have integrity. And this is a warning to each and every one of us. We must have integrity. We must guard ourselves from embracing sin, because nothing good comes from it. It is better that you have a clear conscience than having to keep track of all the lies. This reminds me of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you have to keep reading. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. What a great reminder. And let's understand that our Savior, our Redeemer, our great high priest gets it. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So as we reflect on Aaron omitting, re-narrating, lying, don't do this, brothers and sisters. Give glory to God, confess your sin, and walk in obedience. It is far easier to deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow Christ than to live in sin and refuse to confess and live with the consequences of sin. So I beg of you, if you're in sin right now, take the time right now to confess it to God and take steps to put off the sin and put on Christ's righteousness.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.